please, to the book of 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter, page 368 in your Scofield Bible. We're reading the first four verses. We'll read them responsively. The third verse is the text for this evening's message. Once more, 2 Samuel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And in your Scofield Bible, page 368. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be here this Sunday evening. Here we are at the start of the summer season, and we pray that you would indeed help us to pledge to thee our faithfulness and loyalty throughout the summer months. Very especially we pray that you bless this service, and we pray for thy help for all of the church family, especially those gathered here tonight. Give us hearts that are willing to listen and ears to hear thy word, and a will to do that which you'd want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, how you can find who your true friends are. How you can find who your true friends are. I'd like for you to hang on every word. If you do, you may hang me after the service is over. But I want you to listen very carefully. And I really am burdened for what I'm going to say, as I said a while ago, tonight. I read for you from 2 Samuel, chapter number 13, one verse. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man, a shrewd man. Most shrewd people are pretty smart. They are intelligent, and they have charisma, and such was the case with Jonadab. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak tonight. I really feel like that the future and the lives of dozens of people are at stake. And I pray you'd help me to be used of God to salvage some people who think people are their friends who really aren't. In Jesus' name, amen. Absalom was the son of King David. Follow me carefully. I want every teenager, just shut up and let me do the talking tonight. Listen to me. I want you to listen carefully to me. I want every child to hear what I'm going to say. Put your coloring books up. Put your little pen pencils up. If you're old enough to come to church, you're old enough to sit up and listen to the preacher. So I want you to listen tonight. We have no services here on Sunday night, Wednesday night, where we take the young people out and let them have their own service. They sit and hear the same thing Mom and Dad hear. I want you to listen to me. And by the way, I want you adults to hear me. I'm going to say some things tonight that you need to hear. Absalom was David, King David's son. Tamar was Absalom's beautiful sister. She was David's daughter and the sister of Absalom. Her name was Tamar. Tamar was a virgin, a beautiful lady. And every single young person in this room tonight ought to walk up here on this platform when you get married and have your first kiss. You say, well, Brother Hyland, why don't you just say be a virgin? I want you to stop steps before you get there. I don't want the truck going downhill so fast you can't stop it. I want you to, before you get to the hill, I want you to put over and park the truck. Absalom was David's son. Tamar was David's daughter. Absalom's beautiful sister, a virgin. Amnon, don't forget the name. A-M-N-O-N. Amnon was also David's son by another wife. So Absalom and Tamar were the half-brother and half-sister of Amnon. Amnon became romantically interested in his half-sister, Tamar. He wanted her to make love to him. And I hate to use the term make love. Make lust would be better. But you use the word because you almost have to for folks to understand what you're talking about. But Amnon wanted to make love with his half-sister, Tamar. But the better instinct in Amnon realized that he should not. Simple truth is, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18 and verse 9, God forbade people to make love to a half-sister, or a sister for that matter. But something happened. He thought he should not do it. But something happened, and I'll come to that something in a few minutes. Something happened that changed his mind. He did sin with her and stole her virginity from her. And God have mercy on you fellows that are that kind of thief tonight. He stole her virginity. Actually, he raped her. Absalom, don't forget now, Absalom was Tamar's brother. Absalom was so upset with his half-brother Amnon because he had raped his sister, Absalom's sister Tamar. He brooded for 2 years. And finally, after 2 years, he had a party. And at this feast, rather, he had a feast. And he planned at that feast to have Amnon murdered. And Amnon was murdered by his own brother, half-brother, Absalom. Now, back to the fact that he changed his mind. Let me remind you that a while ago, I said, Amnon decided that it would not be proper, and certainly he knew it would not be scriptural, according to Leviticus 18:9, for him to make love to his own half-sister. That's forbidden by God. And so what happened was he refused to do it. But after a while, don't leave me now. After a while, he did change his mind. Now what changed his mind? Enter a man named Jonadab. The Bible simply says, in our text verse, 2 Samuel 13:3, Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. His friend was Jonadab. Jonadab suggested, Amnon came to Jonadab and told him. He said, I'm in love. And the word is accurate because in love, if I've fallen in love, that's not the kind of love the Bible knows anything about. You don't fall in love, you jump in love as God leads you to. But he said in so many words, I've fallen in love with my half-sister. And I realized I cannot have her, but Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. Jonadab suggested to Amnon that he feign or fake illness. That he go to bed and act like he's sick. That he called his father, David, and say to his father, I'd like for Tamar, my half-sister, to make me 2 cakes and bring them to my bedside. Now, Jonadab is the guy that conceived this idea. He said to Amnon, you fake sickness now and tell your dad that you want Tamar to bake 2 cakes for you and bring those cakes to you. Now, he said, when she comes with those cakes, you proposition her and ask her to make love with you. She did come with 2 cakes. Amnon did ask her to make love with him. She refused, as the Bible commanded her to. And so he raped her. He forced her. All because Amnon had a friend. this so-called friend is like some of your so-called friends. Those El Funkos at school that try to talk you into doing something wrong. Amnon had a friend. Amnon, because he listened to his friend, and by the way, you usually do, because of the peer pressure. You haven't got the guts to face the peer pressure. The honest, simple truth is, Amnon, because he listened to Jonadab, get it now, this so-called friend led Amnon into deception. Secondly, he led Amnon into lying to his father. Third, he led Amnon into cheating. Fourth, he led Amnon into going against the direct commands of the Word of God. Fifth, he led Amnon into awful sin. Sixth, he led Amnon into being murdered. Amnon died prematurely because he, quote, had a friend. And he ruined, this Amnon's so-called friend, ruined the life of Tamar. Now, let me say something to you folks, young people especially. If you're going to go to the devil, go by yourself. Go by yourself. Don't be so rotten and stinking and filthy that you try to take somebody else with you. If you're going to go to the devil, make it a soul. Go ahead, go on the devil, but take your hands off our young people at First Baptist Church. I'm sick and tired of you walking up and saying, well, you don't believe all those rules, do you? Now, if you don't believe the rules, then get out, but go out by yourself and leave people alone. That so-called friend who will lead you into taking a cigarette is not your friend. That so-called friend who will lead you into taking a drink of beer or wine or martini is not your friend. That so-called friend that will lead you go to a movie house. Every young folk, sit up and listen to me. That so-called friend that leads you to a Hollywood movie house to watch a bunch of whores is not your friend. And I was doing hoax of instant time, get mad because I mentioned that. You know as well as I did a bunch of whores out there. Been married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 times. Now why don't you wake up and admit the fact that's what's out there and turn the stupid stuff off. That so-called friend that'll lead you to a movie house is not your friend. That so-called friend that will lead you not to respect authority. I said not to respect authority. That so-called friend that will lead you not to respect your mom and your dad and your school teacher and your principal and your pastor and others in authority is not your friend. That so-called friend that will lead you to break the rules is not your friend. That so-called friend that will lead you to cheat is not your friend. That so-called friend that will lead you to lie is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to go against this book is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to immodest dress is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to strip your clothes off, two-thirds of them, and go lie on a beach like a bunch of naked animals is not your friend. I know what some of you folks are saying. I came to visit tonight. I don't like your preaching. You don't order here. We have no menus, brother. We just serve whatever the Holy Spirit cooks up. That's right. You say, I don't like this kind of church. How many folks does your church have tonight? Now you listen to me. You listen well. America's going to the devil, and you know why. America's going to the devil because old-fashioned preachers that used to cry aloud and spare not have shut their mouths. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of the money. They're afraid of the wealth. But you found a man tonight behind this book. That so-called friend that leads you to have a rebellious attitude is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to sit and listen to gossip and wants to tell you bad news about somebody is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to listen to rock music is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to disobey your parents is not your friend. That so-called friend who will lead you to not listening to the sermon and misbehaving in church is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to ditch church is not your friend. That so-called church that leads you to date wrong people is not your friend. That so-called friend that leads you to criticize your principal is not your friend. And let me stop and say this. If anybody here wants to get rid of one of our principals, you better realize you got me to fight also. I mean, I want you just to know who your enemies really are. Brother, I am for every principal that of our school here. I'll stand by them. I'll fight for them. And if they go under, I go under with them. That so-called friend who is not your, called you square because you're trying to do right is not your friend. That so-called friend that called you at Howells Anderson College a hacker because you obey the rules is not your friend. That so-called friend that wants you to get alone with him or her, members of the opposite sex in a car for a date, is not your friend. That so-called friend that wants you to go with them to a heathen school, I said go to a heathen school, is not your friend. That so-called friend that wants you to date worldly young people is not your friend. That so-called friend that wants you to speak criticism is not your friend. I'll say it again, and you listen well. If you don't like what's going on around here, if you don't like the rules and standards of our schools, if you don't like what's preached in this pulpit, and you want to go to the devil, you just go ahead, but you go by yourself and take your hands off the rest of our young people. Now let me show you for a few minutes. Some of you visitors are about to have a heart attack. If you have a heart attack now, you'll drop dead in 10 minutes. I want to promise you that. Now let me show you their method of approach. Follow me carefully. Here's what they say. Do right. These so-called friends. See, a guy walks up and says, do wrong, that's one thing. But these so-called friends say, do right. But you have a mind of your own. You can decide what's right. This so-called friend, they'll say, it's your decision. Listen carefully. It's your decision. Do what you think is best. I agree with that. If you've got enough sense to realize there are people that are three times as old as you are that know what's best better than you do. My Bible says, children, obey your parents. And once you have grown old enough to be an adult, it still says, honor your mother and your father. They say, it's your life. It's your decision. Do what you think is best. Don't be a puppet. Don't be a robot. Do your own thing. Find out for yourself. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Oh, that sounds familiar. Those words, be your own thing. Do right, but you decide what's right. Where did I hear that before? Oh, I know where that was. That was in a beautiful garden called Eden, before there was ever a sin, when the roses had no thorns and the chill never took the flowers and caused them to fade. I know that. I remember there was a man and a woman there called Adam and Eve. And Eve wasn't home making brownies one day. She was out to where she shouldn't have been. And the devil walks up to Eve and said, hello there. He said, I want you to do what is right. And the devil never told Eve to do wrong. He said, do what is right. But he said, you decide what's right. He said, you, look, I want you to do what's right. But no, ladies and gentlemen, that book's supposed to decide what's right. God had told Eve what to do, but the devil said, look, you can be as a God yourself, knowing good and evil, or determining good and evil. Oh, that's where I've heard it before. So it started with the devil, didn't it? So, don't miss this. You rebels are satanic inspired. Yeah. I'm not talking about folks now I want you to do wrong. Do right. Good night. You do what's right. I want you to do right, but you got a head on your shoulders. It's obvious that you don't. If you do, it's not for decoration, I promise you. But look, do. I want you to do right. But Brother Howells, he doesn't know what's... He's not God. Well, isn't that a good revelation? You ought to be given a Ph.D. for all the knowledge that you have. Oh, by the way, Buster and Busterettes, neither are you. And neither is the person you're trying to seduce or influence. I said, you rebels are satanic inspired. Let me see if I can make it a little plainer.
You are of the devil. Am I making myself clear? Let me be a little clearer. What you're doing is straight out of hell. So you're trying to influence someone. Oh, now again, you're too shrewd to say do wrong. You know better. You know it's wrong. But you're too shrewd. You're too tricky. You have too much charisma. And so you simply say, do what's right. Do what's right. But you decide what's right. Let me say a word right here. I don't want to say whether you're going to let me or not. But listen. Why will you take the advice of a guy who shaves with a pair of tweezers? Or a gal who's been 2 years out of junior high school? Who has as much experience about life as I do about wearing nylons? Or as Brother Keith does about dieting? Or as Mrs. Colston knows about listening? Or as Brother Colston knows about speed praying? Or as Mrs. Howes knows about speaking in a northern accent? You don't know everything, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, Howes Anderson College freshman. You don't know anything. But there's some people who've been along the trail you've been along and seen the casualties and seen those that have fallen and those that have risen and seen those that have happy marriages and those that don't and those that have happy lives and those that don't. They've seen the trail that they've walked the trail and seen countless others walk the trail. And if you've got any sense at all, you won't listen to the Jonadabs who'll come and say, do right, but you decide. No, sir, you listen to somebody who's been down the trail and take their advice. See, Satan has no plan for your life. Listen to McCaffrey. Satan has no plan for your life. But God has one. And Satan knows that God has a plan for your life. Satan was once the archangel of heaven, God's right-hand deputy. He was one of the three archangels along with Gabriel and Michael. And Satan took a third of angels in heaven and did exactly what some of you punks are doing. Don't call me a punk, I just did. Anybody who will lead someone to be rebellious is a punk. You may be a 16-year-old punk or a 20-year-old punk or a 76-year-old punk, but you're a punk. What you ought to be doing is saying, let God decide what's right and wrong. And those who walk with God for a generation or more, let them advise you about what's right and wrong. The devil knows God like nobody's ever known him because he was his deputy. He rebelled against God and took one-third of angels, heaven's angels, and caused a warfare against God. Because of that, he was kicked out of heaven, came to earth, and all he's trying to do is to hurt God. The devil's desire is not to hurt you. The devil hates God. His desire is to hurt God. And he knows what God wants. He knows that God wants you to do his will. And God knows it's best for you to do his will. And the devil's trying to keep you from doing God's will, not because he's mad at you, but because he's mad at God. So, he suggests that you decide. Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to the devil's way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's something I misquoted. That's as near as NIV gets to. There's something I misquoted. I said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to the devil's way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. No, sir. Doesn't say that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And that's what's wrong with America. The philosophy of America is, you decide what's right and what's wrong. I've got news for you. There's an omniscient, omnipotent God in heaven who wrote a book who tells you what's right and what's wrong. And for you to go your own way is nothing more than idolatry. You become your own God. Your mind becomes your own God. And you worship your own self, which is self-idolatry. And you're just as much an idolater as a Hottentot in Africa worshiping some piece of wood or a piece of stone. The devil has no plan for your life. He knows God has one. He hates God. So he wants to keep you, hear me carefully now, from God's plan. He also knows the best way to keep you from God's plan is to appeal to your own pride. So he doesn't come to you, Brother Colston, and say, don't do God's plan, you do his plan. Or you do his plan. No, he comes and says, Brother Colston, you are a very intelligent man. Well, I'm not sure the devil would say that to you. Let me go on down to something. I don't see anybody. But he'll say, you're an intelligent man. And look, what right does anybody else have to tell you what to do? I want you to do what's right. That's what he said to Eve, and the old booger man's been saying that for all these 6,000 years. He says, you decide. You have a mind of your own. You're a brilliant man. You have a mind of your own. You decide. He's not trying to get you to do his will, because he has no will. He doesn't care what you do as long as you don't do God's will, because he hates God. And so he comes to you and says, I want you not to do God's will. He knows the best way to keep you from doing God's will is to do your own will. So he suggests that you decide. These false friends are saying, do right. By the way, they're more dangerous than folks that say do wrong. Let me say a word. Listen, don't miss this. Teenagers, college students, don't miss this. I would rather you to go to a heathen university where they say we don't believe the Bible, we don't believe in Jesus Christ, than for you to go to some of these schools that teach you to do your own thing. This modern so-called yuppie Christianity, where the pastor goes up and down the neighborhood taking a poll of what the unsaved folks want in the neighborhood. Now you listen to me. You listen well. It is more dangerous. Hey, your Sunday school friend, your school friend who's trying to get you to do right, but you decide what's right, is more dangerous than the world is. And the nightclubs, you know the nightclubs are wrong. You know the liquor stores are wrong. You know the bars are wrong. But that little subtle friend that wiggles up like a serpent did in the Garden of Eden, and with his charisma and sweet little disposition says, do right, but you decide. He's 10 times more dangerous than the world is. He says, you decide what's right. Choose your own religion. You don't have that choice. One of my preacher friends had little children. They were watching a children's television program on Saturday morning, which was a decent program. And as the fellow went off the air, he said, now, boys and girls, tomorrow is Sunday. Go to the church of your choice. This little preacher's kid said to his mama, we can't do that, can we? No, and you can't either. You drive by some of these churches in the area, they'll say 8:30 contemporary worship. That's no more than man deciding how he's supposed to worship God. Then they'll say traditional worship at 11 o'clock. Won't you just close down and set it to make a warehouse out of your building? You decide what's right. Choose your own church. Go to the church of your choice. Don't be a robot. Let's see how that turned out in the Bible. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, tells about the saddest, worst time in the life of the nation Israel. It was the time when there was no open revelation from God. It was the worst time in the history of Israel, and it says twice in these two passages, in Judges 17:6 and 21:25, every man did that which was right. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? He didn't say every man did that which was wrong. Every man did that which was right. In his own eyes. And that philosophy, that's why you got a bunch of people shooting in our public schools. That's why you got a nation where most of half the kids are born out of wedlock. That's why you got a nation where people are having kids like animals are and living like animals. And it's no longer even a shame for a girl to get pregnant before she's married. Now you listen carefully to me. This book hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Right hasn't changed. And wrong hasn't changed. Solomon, in Proverbs 12:12 and 21:2, did that which was right in his own eyes and warned against it. Had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He did that which was right in his own eyes. God warned against it, Deuteronomy 12:8. And the whole human race fell because one woman decided to do that which was right in her own eyes. The reason we have the chill of winter and the excessive heat of summer and the poisonous serpent that writhes its way across the ground, and the reason we have disease, and the reason we get tired, and the reason we die, is because the devil talked one woman into doing that which was right in her own eyes. If America ever changes her fall into sin, ruin, America's going to have to come back to letting this book decide what's right or wrong. Mr. Carter came to office and said he was a born-again Christian. Somebody asked him, they said, Mr. Carter, how about that verse that says a woman's hold this in subjection to her husband? Well, he said, I don't believe that part. Mr. Carter was an idolater. He was saying, I know more than God. He was putting his mind above the mind of omniscient God and almighty God. Now listen carefully. I'm coming toward the end. Let me introduce you to some friends of Ammon. Somewhere in this building tonight is a young lady. I don't know where she's sitting, and I wouldn't tell you if I knew. But she's here tonight. She has a child to whom she gave birth a few years ago. That child is probably in school by now. I recall when she came to my office and told me she was pregnant outside of wedlock. And by the way, don't you be surprised when you let your daughter watch all that stuff on the television set. Don't you be surprised if she makes heroes and heroines out of those people. But somewhere in this room tonight she sits. I will not tell you where. I don't know where myself, but she's here tonight. I saw her early in the evening, but not in the building. She sits here tonight and wonders where that child is. They come by my office and sometimes they'll say, have you seen my child? What does my daughter look like? What color eyes does she have? She'll never see her child. She left the child up for adoption like everybody ought to. Back when it was considered a sin to have a baby outside wedlock, folks would give the baby up for adoption so the baby to have a Christian home and not come into a place where you don't have a family. And I recommend it 100% whether you like it or not. Because I've been in this business longer than you have and I know how it turns out. But she's here tonight. She doesn't know what her child looks like. Sometime recently her child enrolled for the first year in school. She doesn't know what school. She doesn't know where the child lives. Back yonder 7 years ago, she came to me pregnant, and she told me how it happened. Quote, my friends told me to do my thing. You stinking friends. I said again, I don't want you to go to the devil, but if you're going to go by yourself. And she got with her friends. And her friends never said, do wrong. Her friends never said, let's go sin. You got a mind of your own, they said. Look, you got as much right to decide about these rules as those folks at school do. Do what you think is right. And she did. And those friends, so-called friends tonight, and some of them are sitting right here in this room tonight, you're going to one day look God in the face and give an account for the fact that you caused that to happen. In this service tonight, and I could tell you where they're sitting, but I will not give you any idea. There are three young ladies in the service tonight who have come to me in the last 6 months and said, Pastor, I'm pregnant outside of wedlock. In every case, I had high hopes for those young ladies. By the way, I still have hopes, and I don't forsake them. What you do is criticize me for preaching, never happens, you forsake them. I don't forsake them. I'm going to salvage everything I can out of every life I can. But these ladies right now are carrying babies. They wonder where to live. Should I go out of the area for 9 months? Should I stay here? Should I come to church? If I do, should I go to Sunday school? If so, what class should I go to? Where should I sit in the church service? What will folks think? All three of those girls tonight, unmarried, pregnant. And in every case, here's what they said. My friends told me to do my own thing. And some of you friends here tonight, you know who you are. You know who you are, and I know who you are. Let me tell you, you have done one of the most abominable things you'll ever do in your life. And those little girls going to bed at night carrying a baby without a father, a baby in their body without a father, and you have their blood on your hands. And I know who you are. And you get a little tough with me, I'll tell the whole church who you are. Don't you start talking about this sermon tonight, or I'll expose you. I'm trying to tell you, somebody ought to tell you that a real friend doesn't lead you to do your own thing. I can count 14. In fact, I wrote them down in my office yesterday. No, I'm sorry. Friday. Thursday. Sometime in the last year. I've got their names in the office. 14 young ladies, young married ladies. Hear me carefully. Married because they're so-called Jonadab friends. And by the way, in most cases, it's some of you girls that don't listen to mama and daddy. And don't listen to your preacher, and don't listen to your principals, and don't listen to your youth director, and don't listen to your college administrators. These 14 young ladies married the wrong crowd that they would never have known had it not been for some of you Jonadabs and Jonadatuses. I can tell you 14 names tonight. I won't, but I could. I could give you 14 names tonight of these young ladies who have at least one child, and some, one has three. They're rearing alone because they married somebody they shouldn't have married, whom they would never have met if they hadn't had a Jonadab. Come on. Anna? Good night. I know she's your half-sister. But this is a new generation, a new age. Don't listen to your old fogey parents and your old fogey prophets. Don't listen to those guys. Do right. But you've got a head on your shoulders. You do what you think is right. And these 14 young ladies are living in hell tonight. Hey, don't you tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been around too long and talked to too many people. Listen, Amnon. Jonadab is not your friend. Jonadab is not your friend. I said, Jonadab, that little gal that says, come on with us and do what you think is right, is not your friend. That boy that wants to take you in a car out yonder and have liberties that the Bible does not give you right to have, is not your friend. I don't care how cute he is, how handsome he is, how electrifying he is, how good an athlete he is. He's not your friend. He's a dirty liar. That's exactly what he is. I said, Jonadab is not your friend. I said, Jonadab is not your friend. Would you bow your heads, please? I want to talk to Jonadab first tonight. I want to talk to you, Jonadab. You know who you are, young lady. You young ladies know who you are that caused that young girl that was trying to struggle to live for God to get in the wrong crowd. Now she's pregnant. You know who you are. I know who you are, and you know who you are. Now get right with God.